I'm going to start another message this morning called The Kingdom Way. And I want to take it here and start out in John chapter 13 and verse 7. Well, excuse me. Let's start out in John 13, 1, and let's just pray. Father, right now I just declare that the word that you put in my heart, you're going to be able to just get it out of my mouth and past my head and into the hearts of the people. The Lord, that they're going to be blessed today. They're going to hear from heaven. They're going to be encouraged. They're going to be strengthened. We're going to find out about the operation of the kingdom today. And Lord, as we begin to speak into this, Holy Spirit, I ask you to come and open up our hearts and our minds and illuminate our understanding so that this word can be applied and we can be more like you, Jesus. So Lord, I thank you for it and I praise you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, I'm going to start reading in John 13, 1. It says, "Now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And the supper being ended, the devil having already put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing the Father, had given all things to his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God. He arose from the supper, he laid aside his garments, he took a towel and he girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he was girded. Now when he came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, 'Lord, you're not going to wash my feet.' Jesus answered and said, 'What I do, what I'm doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this.' And Peter said to him, 'You shall never wash my feet.' Jesus answered him and said, If I do not wash you, you have no part with me.' And Simon Peter said to him, 'Well, Lord, not my feet and my hands, but my hands and my feet and everything.' And Jesus said, 'He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you.'" So I want to just this put this story in perspective here for a minute. You notice that the scripture says Jesus took his garment off, put on a towel, and was taking the role of a servant, right? You know, we're cowboys, and we don't ever take our boots off. You take them off to shower, but we don't enter into a house because we don't wear sandals, and we don't wash our feet like they did in those days in Jesus' time. But in those days, they'd been walking their feet, and the sandals and everything was dusty, and so they washed their feet. Well, the servants did it for the masters. And Jesus is doing this, and if you notice, Peter was not the first disciple. Because he said when he came to Peter, so he had already been washing some of the disciples' feet. Peter's sitting back, and he's watching, he's looking, he's seeing what Jesus is doing. He's watching this whole spectacle going on, and it's not setting right with him. Because Jesus is the king. And what's the king doing washing somebody's feet and doing a menial servant's task? And to Peter, he's trying to wrap his thinking around it. And it doesn't fit. It doesn't jive in him. He doesn't know what's going on. Y'all with me? Have you ever thought about that with God? Have you ever in your life been standing there and you're kind of looking at what's going on and you're saying, "Lord, what in the world are you doing?" Anybody ever thought that? You've been praying for something to happen. You've been praying for something to come to pass. You've been trying to plot your course and get God to do it just like you want him to do it. And you got it all prayed out. And you're saying, "God, I want you to do this. And we need to do that. And if you'll get this one over here and we'll get that one and this." And then all of a sudden you start to look and you just see it's all chaos. You've been praying for your family to get saved. And all of a sudden chaos is in their life. And you're like, "Lord, we want them to know you, not have chaos." Anybody ever been there? Maybe in your own life you're praying, "Lord, I want to serve you. Lord, I want to serve you greater. I want to be more of a servant of yours." And then all of a sudden some things start happening. You're like, "Wait a minute, Lord, this isn't what I was expecting." Right? When I first started to work here at Living Waters Church, I went to work as an employee of Living Waters Church in April of 1990. And I had been up until that time as a carpenter. We'd been building homes. And man, I'd work on those roofs and we'd shingle roofs and we'd do just what everybody has to do, you know, make a living. Sometimes it was good and we were building houses. It was nice and good and easy. And other times we were on, you know, steep pitches trying to shingle roofs and hot and put up insulation or whatever else in life. And I was always praying, saying, Lord, I know you called me into the ministry. Lord, I know I'm supposed to go into the ministry. I'm supposed to be preaching around the world. Lord, there's people need to be saved. I got a message to tell. What am I doing on this roof? What am I doing this for? Why am I building this, Lord? Why am I doing this? I shouldn't be in this trade, Lord. I'm supposed to be a pastor. I'm supposed to be a preacher. I know it's what God called me to do. Well, actually, I never said pastor. Flaming evangelist, something like that. And I was praying, you know, for this. And then I remember one day Pastor Randy, he was a pastor here at that time, and I was building a home down in Sabinal, and we're up on the roof slinging decking down, and he came up to the roof, and he said, and he was driving by, he's going over to Uvalde, and he pulled in there, because we were in Sabinal, and he pulled in there, and he said, hey, can you got a second? He said, yeah. He said, well, I was praying for you this morning, and I thought I'd come by and give you an encouraging word. I was like, yeah, really? What is it? He said, well, the children of Israel were slaves for 436 years. And I said, man, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, you foul devil from the pit of hell, discouraging lying spirit. He just started laughing. He just laughed, got in his car and drove off. It's kind of friends I had around me in those days. And you know, there's times we feel like that. We feel like, what are we doing here? And so that's where I'm headed with this message. Because Peter is looking at what's going on. He's saying, this isn't right. But you see, Peter didn't have the knowledge to know that Jesus was setting forth an illustration for all of us, an example for us to be servants. And that we're all servants of God, and that he was submitted unto God, and that he was going to the cross, and he was going to die for the sins of the world. Now, if you read the story on, Peter gets on down there, and that's when he makes his famous statement, said, Lord, I'll go with you forever. And he said, man, the rooster ain't going to crow three times, you're going to deny me. And there's been times even in my life I have felt like I got it all so figured out, and the Lord's like, you're not even close. So what I want you to, I'm putting us all in the category this morning that we can all say, well, we were like Peter. I mean, that's not such a bad thing to say, right? Jesus did choose him. But we got to understand something, that the kingdom of heaven operates different than the kingdom of this world. The kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, you know, you want to say it, it has rules, it has parameters, it has things that it operates by. And I want you to understand something. I've got seven things here this morning that you've got to come to an understanding about the kingdom of God. The first one is simply this, okay, that it's perfect. Now, don't raise your hand and don't look down at the floor, but I'm almost certain that all of us in here at some point in our life have thought God made a bad decision. You would not be human if you did not think that. If you did not think that at some point life had been unfair to you, heaven had been unfair to you, the angels bound to fall down their job, something had gone wrong that caused you to doubt that the kingdom of heaven is perfect. You wouldn't be human if you told me, oh, I've never thought that. Either that or you've been living in a bubble. So the first thing we got to do, we got to come to an understanding. If we're going to walk in what God has for us and walk and understand the kingdom of God, the first thing we got to understand is that it's perfect. God doesn't make mistakes. He's God the Father who knows the end from the beginning, and he does not make a mistake. Sometimes that's hard to swallow. You know, I find all the time in my life that, you know, you get a bunch of guys around and you're trying to figure out how to do something. Everybody's got a different opinion. And we all may be able to get it done, but one person may think his way's more efficient, or this person may think their way's more efficient, or this is better, or we'll get it done quicker, or whatever. But, you know, everybody's got an opinion. But the thing about it is that you got to come to the realization in your life that God's ways are perfect. And we all sit there and say, yeah, that's right. Yeah, uh-huh. But when it really gets down to it, sometimes we don't believe that. Look at the person beside you and saying, yeah, he's preaching good this morning. Go to Psalms 18. Psalms 18. David made a statement here in Psalms 18, verse 29. He said, for by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He's a shield to all who trust in him. Has God ever asked you in life to quit doing something? And you're like, well, you know, Lord, ain't no big deal. I mean, you know, oh, so-and-so, he does it. So why do I have to, you know? Isn't it interesting that we as humans, that whenever God asks us to quit doing something that we don't really want to quit doing, that we then become religious like the Pharisees and we start writing a Talmud, a book to explain away the things you don't really want to do. We begin to try to find things that justify. That's why we have so many different denominations, because everybody tries to find the denomination that best suits their carnality. It's the truth. I mean, I got to speak truth. You may be in this church because there's a little bit of a carnal side of you that you're a little bit of a rebel and you like coming to church here because it's kind of what emulates from the pulpit. Come on, we're a little more laid back, a little more relaxed around here. We're a little different than churches, and some this may sit you, but, you know, we always have to watch ourselves and check ourselves because we don't want to be, you know, carnal just to be carnal or whatever. We want to make sure that we're staying biblical, right? But there's people who select their denomination like a menu at a fast food restaurant. Okay, with number 4, I get what? I get this, this, and this. That's not too bad. Okay, number 5, I get, yeah, okay, wait a minute. Now, that's got a good point here. That's better there. You get away with more there, and you just go do that once, and then everything's okay. And you know, that I kind of like that one. And so, and then, you know, come on, I'm preaching good. We select it like we just showed up on the, you know, give me a number 4. And then so if the menu doesn't suit you, right, then you want to take the menu, the order, the number 4, but we want to cut this or that. Y'all with me? So like my wife, I refuse to go anywhere with her and order anything for her. I love her with all of my heart, but she is the only person I've ever seen go to the Dairy Queen and want a peanut butter. No. Come on. Help me out here. A peanut buster parfait, but we didn't want peanuts in it. We wanted pecans. So I said, well, wouldn't that be a pecan buster parfait? Well, but they don't have that on the menu. I just want that would be, but I don't want the pecans. I want the peanuts. I mean, I want the peanuts. I want the pecans. I'm like, well, you try to explain that through that little thing, because I'm not sitting here going down that road trying to get that done. Me, I'm the guy, because I know they're going to mess it up, I find the closest thing to what I want and throw off everything that I didn't want. And just take it, and, you know, that's the way I do it. Because if I deviate from the menu, it's going to, somebody going to spit in it back in the back and send it out to me. I don't know how I got on that, but No, so that's the way it is with church. You figure out what you want, and then if that doesn't suit you, then they try to arrange it to fit. Am I right? Come on. It's not like pray and say, Jesus, listen, I'm your servant, and what do you want me to do, and where's the church that I'm supposed to be plugged into, and where am I supposed to go, and I want to be, whatever it costs, Lord, I'm willing to pay the price. Y'all with me? Because it's the conviction of our hearts. We got to believe God's way is perfect. And when he goes to speaking to you, if God's way is perfect, he said in Philippians 1 and 6 that the good work he started in your life, he's going to perfect. So that means he chose you and he knew what he was doing. And he knew that it was perfect to choose you, to get you to come on, and for you to get saved where you were and when you were at the same time you were. You said, well, I wish I'd have got saved earlier, but you didn't. Hello. You are who you are today because that's what you walk through in life. And you can wish all the past would change all you want to, but it ain't going to. All you can do is see that your future is not what your past was because you've changed it. Right? You know, listen, you can't go back and live yesterday. It's gone. You're never going to get it back. All you can do is look for tomorrow and try to make it better than yesterday was because God's worked in your life and changed and you're not going to make the same mistakes again. That's why God gave us repentance in the blood of Jesus. You repent about yesterday and live for tomorrow. You with me? So if he got you and he's perfecting everything in you, well, you got to believe God's ways are perfect. And you can sit here all day long and want to argue about it and say, well, God, that is, I just can't understand how that's right. All you're doing is hindering the kingdom of God from working in your life. All you're doing is stop the process of God's kingdom moving forward. It's all you've done. And there's Christians all over the world standing on the road that's leading to glory, and pull their cars over to the side because they're arguing with God about what's going on. And then when they say, God, wait a minute, God, you can't be, this can't be you. We got, and so you just pull the car over the road. You're not going anywhere. Hello. So the kingdom of God, as soon as we come to the understanding that his way is perfect, then all of a sudden we say, okay, Lord, I don't understand everything, but I'm just submitting to you. I'm trusting you that you know what's going on. You know where I'm at. You know what's going on. And so, Lord, we're going to take a step in faith and trust, and we're going to move on. The moment you start to do that, then the kingdom of God begins to rush back into your life. God's perfect. His way is perfect. His works are perfect that he's doing in you. His will is perfect. You can, you know, now everybody, I don't understand it. I think it's totally hilarious in a sense. All of the things that are going on right now in the United States because of the president that we have elected and everything that's going on and everything that's taking place. Now everybody is preaching the gospel more. Either it's kind of like Apostle Paul said, either they're doing it out of spite or whatever, but the gospel is getting preached more across conservative talk radio than I've ever heard in my life. Everybody's a preacher today. Even the liberals are going out and getting ordained so they can say they're preachers. It is the truth. They're preaching craziness, but they're saying, I'm like, what? What is going on? Everybody's preaching. Okay? And the other day they were having a big argument about Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man shall come to the Father but by me. Well, Jesus said it. It's not a denomination, no matter what translation you look it up or what language you read it in, it says that. So there was a debate was, is that conservative Christians who believe that that's the truth, that we're worse than the radical Muslims who are wanting to take it and try to kill people because we don't have any tolerance for anybody that doesn't believe that. And so my thinking was, so? Where's the problem? I mean, okay, Jesus said it. He wrote it. Well, he didn't write it, but Jesus said it. It got recorded, got printed. There it is, right? He said it. What if you don't want to believe it? Then just, why does it irritate you so much? I I've had people before say, oh, yeah, you old preachers, y'all the same. Y'all think you're better than everybody else. I said, where'd that come from? I don't think I'm better than anybody else. Why are you so, why do you feel, why is it bringing it out of you to say that? Why are you getting convicted over the situation? Must be because you feel like you're not doing something right. So you got to put me down to make you feel better. Why don't you just start doing right? Leave me alone. Y'all follow what I'm saying here? It all starts when you believe that God's way is perfect. Listen, you say, how's God going to sort out? I don't know. I don't know if I believe that. Okay, then the kingdom of God's not going to operate in your life. See, we got wishy-washy Christians standing on the roadside of life, going down the menu and say, that number eight there, that's a hard one to kind of chew. I just don't know if I want to go to a church that really believes that. I'd like to find a little church that's got, tickles my ears a little bit better. I got a little better, easier thing for me to digest there. I don't know if I can quite take that on the menu. And I'm like, well then how can you start picking and choosing what the Bible says? Church, okay, so then what if you get a church that believes Romans 10:9 is not true? It doesn't really mean that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart in Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. That was just a, metaphorically speaking of what was about to be, and so that you really, that's not true. You have to do this other hoop you have to jump through. Y'all with me? Who's to say, if you start, listen to me, once you start to try to unravel the scriptures to make it mean what you want to, you're on some shaky ground because then nothing fits anymore. It's like trying to put a jigsaw puzzle together and you had a piece that you wanted to fit in this deal, so you just got the scissors and you started cutting it till it fit. Well, just because you put that piece in there, okay, that doesn't mean that you're going to be short a piece somewhere. And if you cut one and say, well, that was easy. See how much easier that was? We just made a piece fit. And you do another one then, because it was easy. Because we are humans. We're going to always do the easiest thing that we possibly can. Hello. So before long, you got all these pieces cut out, and then all of a sudden, nothing fits anymore. And then you got these other pieces that are left over that don't fit anywhere, so you got to cut them. Before long, life gets really complicated because you've been cutting the Bible to pieces. It's either all true or it's not any of it true, church. It's either the perfect Word of God, okay? It's either the perfect Word of God with the perfect gifts of God in it, or it's not any of it true. Throw it all out. Hello? You see, when you start to come to the place when you're looking at this, and then the number seven of those perfections there is that Jesus Christ is perfect. Why do you think that they want to try to say that there was no virgin birth? Why do you think they come up with these things, the Da Vinci Code and all these different things that they come up with to try to make Jesus look like he was not the Son of God, that he was not anything special, that he was just a mere mortal man, that he was having an affair with, Mary, and everything was going on, and they had an illegitimate son, and all of this kind of stuff like this. Why do you think that they want to? Because the moment that they take away what the Bible says is true, then none of it's true. You say, yeah, but scientists have proved that the world's millions of years old. No, it's not 6,000. Can I have an amen from that corner? From the Dr. Ondervik corner at least? There you go. You see what I'm saying, church? When you start to say, well, over centuries, things have been... Folks, listen to me. You've just undermined the thing that you have to stand on to be your strength. You've just created your own denomination, your own religion, and once you go there, folks, then you're in some serious trouble. If God's ways are perfect, and His will is perfect, and His word is perfect, and Jesus is perfect, and the gifts are perfect, and everything is perfect, and God the Father is perfect, He knows the beginning from the end, when it's perfect, well, then it comes to a place in life that, here's the next phase, there's three things you got to do. if you're going to learn to walk in the kingdom of God. Once you've established that point, you can't even go any farther than that. You have to come to the place in life that you have to believe that you believe with all of your heart that the Bible's perfect. Now, listen, did they get a word? They translated a little bit different here or there? It's
gone from English to Hebrew to Greek and all these different translations. Sure, there can be little variances of things like that. I'm talking about the spirit of the Word of God, that what's in there.
Y'all with me? I'm talking about what the spirit of Jesus and who he was and what he said and where he did and what he walked. I'm not going to argue for A's, N's, and these. I mean, we could sit here right now and do something so simple as just take Spanish and start speaking in Spanish or preaching in Spanish, and the message I couldn't translate to you the exact words I'm saying out of my mouth in English. But the spirit of what I said is the same thing. Y'all with me? But you got to believe that it's what God, he's smarter than we are. Peter couldn't understand it. He's like, I don't know. You're not going to wash my feet. Jesus said, man, I'll wash your feet. I don't have any part with you. He said, well, then wash all of me. And he said, no, I got to wash all of you. Oh, I just want all of you, Jesus. Do you know that Peter, this is the scary thing. I believe Peter's not a bad guy. Okay? Peter, with all of his heart, wanted to serve Jesus with everything he had, but he was right here in his head thinking about it all. He didn't really know what he was doing, and he was bold enough to step out of the boat. He was bold enough to run to the grave. He was bold enough of a person to step out and say, Lord, I just want everything you've got, and to be the one that kind of got the attention. He was vocal and out there. But he was doing it all out of his head, and he didn't really know what he was doing. But I think his heart really was to do right. But he's like a lot of us. He's doing it all out of his head. And he's figuring, well, this is the way it must be. He was a businessman. He was a fisherman. He bought and sold. Don't take it to that market. Go to that market. We'll get a better price over there. He was a guy that made decisions, so he's figured this stuff all out. Listen to me. About the time you think you got God figured out, you're going to find out you don't. And so we try to get it all figured out, and we try to live our Christianity. And if you're trying to live it in your head, you're going to be really frustrated. But if you live it from your heart and say, Lord, I just want to, which is the very first thing that you come into, I just want to be in agreement with you. I don't understand. I just want to be in agreement with you, Father. I want to be in agreement with the kingdom of God. I've had people come to me and ask me before, who wanted to start an argument, wanted to start a religious debate and say, well, you know, the Bible says, Jesus says, I'm the only way and the truth, and if you don't believe in me, do you believe that? Well, what was I going to say? Well, now, yes, but what? I said, well, is that what the Bible says? I said, maybe if it gets over into the index of the book of maps, we might have to, you know, look at that, but if it's in, you know, old and new, yeah, I believe it. Well, can you? I said, no, I can't explain. I don't have the knowledge. I'm just saying, you asked me, is that what it says? Yeah. Well, everybody just get all mad when I argue. I can't argue with you. It's the Bible. I believe it's true. Well, you're simple-minded to believe the truth. There's no way that can be true. Well, I'm simple-minded. I'm ignorant and you're smarter than I am, okay? So what, is that what you want to hear? I just know the Bible's true. If you don't believe it, you know, I'm going to heaven. And I don't know where you're going, but I don't think it's up. He's down. I mean, I've had people before get gnashing teeth, spit flying mad, just simply because I said, no, I believe the Bible's true. Call me everything in the book. You got to get in agreement with the Word. You got to get in agreement with God. You got to say, Lord, I may not understand it, but I'm in agreement with you. I believe you have my best interest, my family's best interest, my life's best interest. You're going to take this bad situation that's happened in my life because we live in a fallen world. See, one thing we forget, church, is that God loved you so much that he made you a free will being, and that people have rights to make choices. And although those choices are bad and they hurt other people, he still gives us the right to do that. And then he's smart enough, when we trust him, to get us out of the mess, whether we got into it or somebody got us into it, so that it works out right. You say, well, how? I have no earthly idea. I have no earthly idea. I don't know. I don't pretend to know. I just know that I know His way is perfect. And I know that I have to be in agreement with it. The second thing is that you have to learn, and shoot this up on the screen, Colossians 1:22, is that you have to come to an understanding of that in the kingdom of God and its operation in your life, it does not operate because you do something to make it operate. It operates because first you're in agreement, and second you understand that you are holy. So I'm not a holy pastor. Man, you don't know the things going on in my life. I do. I can only imagine some things I don't want to. But I want to tell you something. You're not holy. You're not righteous. You're not justified by your actions and what you do and how good you are. You're holy and righteous because of His flesh through His death to present you holy and blameless and unreprovable in His sight because of the blood of Jesus and what Jesus has done for you, not because of what you've done to earn it. The kingdom will not operate in your life if you don't get that principle down. God's not blessing you because you're good. God's blessing you because you're in the kingdom under the blood. Because if it boils down to our works, then folks, it should have been you on the cross that died. So the kingdom of heaven, it wants to function, it wants to operate in your life, it wants to flow in there, it wants to come about and bring all the blessings that's in the kingdom to your life. You with me? If the kingdom that you're operating under is the kingdom of you, that you want to, every time when you run your kingdom into the wall, and then you want to get God in it to get you out of the mess in the wall, then you're not going to have any success except momentary little spurts whenever God is with you. The rest of the time, you're in charge of your kingdom. You're running the kingdom of Robert. And the only blessings you have in there are the blessings that you can make. Which, why do you think the world wants to lie and cheat and steal to get everything they want? Because they're looking for blessings. They're looking for temporal things. They don't have any earthly idea that how the kingdom of God operates. The things we see going on in America today and in our government, the things that are going on, they have no earthly idea how the kingdom of God operates. They don't. The first principle I look at, I'm deviating a little bit. Y'all help me get back on here in a minute. The first principle I look at is Jesus said that he gave a story of a ruler. And he said he gave one guy 10 talents, one guy 5 talents, and one. He told him to go out and make business. But we have a system that they're trying to put into the world where if you're of a certain class of person, you get everything for free. You don't have to work to get it. When God's about working to earn. Hello? So the minute you get away from that, Jesus said you have the poor with you always. You know that Jesus himself one time said, don't even take, they got mad about the alabaster box that was broken. He says, and he said, you've always got poor with you. Don't worry about this little bit right here that was spent on me. You've always got the poor with you. You can give to them later. He wasn't too concerned with it. Isn't it amazing how every time a disaster goes on in the world that everybody in America gets together and has all these, this relief, that relief, this relief, that relief? But has anybody ever had America relief? No, just tax the people that are making more money and take it from them and give it to those other ones. That ain't the kingdom of God, folks. Giving is the kingdom of God. Welfare is not the kingdom of God.
I don't care. I'm sorry. I'm just preaching. You want the kingdom of God to operate in your life? Years ago when I was, we were broke. We were so broke. We had to stand up to even see light. And we were so far in the hole. And so our kids were put in into school, and so we were asked if they wanted to be on free lunch. I said, we qualified. Now, everybody's got to walk their own walk out, but I just want to show you this. And so Laura and I, we prayed about it, and I said, no, I can't do it, because if I step into doing that, then I feel like I've compromised something. And I'm not earning. I'm going to have to believe God for it. Otherwise, I'm going to fall into a system that I don't want to fall into. And I believe that everybody needs to be helped to get out of the hole. But I'm saying, I'm right here, but I don't want to go dig deeper. I don't want to go backwards. I got to go forward. I want to believe this God of miracles that says when I give and when I pray, and then when I bless her, then I'm blessed, and that he can make finances come into me out of a fish's mouth if he had to. I want to believe God for miracles. I want to believe him for signs and wonders. I want to see the operation of the kingdom of God in my life. And so we launched out in that. I mean, just, man, it was tough. I'm telling you, it wasn't no easy road, dude. It was tough. Times I sat and just cried and said, God, man, I don't understand what I'm doing wrong. I got to have some finances. The things I did to try to make a buck. Whoo! Lord have mercy. But I'm alive today and standing here, and I know the kingdom of God operates and functions under the principles that are true, that I had to learn some things. There were some things wrong in my life. I had to change in order to get it going, and it wasn't a problem on God's part. It was a problem on my part. But see, we don't ever want to look at us. We want to look at God and saying, well, I don't know. I think you need to change some things. And finally, God had to speak and said, the problem is you. And I was like, oh, I didn't want to hear that. Well, you're never going to walk in the things of God if you think you have to earn the things of God. You have to come to an understanding that you get it by holiness, and holiness comes by the blood of Jesus and what Jesus did for each and every one of you to make you right now, today, holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in God's sight. By the blood. The third thing is that we have to understand that our walk in life has to be submitted to his will. Go to the Gospel of John chapter 11. Am I just too hard on y'all today? Y'all want me to preach about something nice? I'm trying to help you. I'm telling you what, sometimes you need to be shaken out. We need to be kicked right out of the rut we're in. A rut is nothing more than a grave with both ends kicked out. If you keep doing the same thing over and over, and you keep having the same results, and you just keep doing it again, that's the definition of insanity. Like marriages. Why are we so insane in our marriages that the wife keeps doing the thing that irritates the husband, and the husband keeps doing the thing that irritates the wife, and we keep thinking we're going to get a different result? And you say in the marriage, you say, why do you keep doing that? You know I hate it when you do that. And they say, yeah, I know, but you know, you need to get over that, because I like to do what I'm doing. And we totally think it's the kingdom of God for the other person to change, so that we can keep doing what we want to do. When the kingdom of God is to come upon you, to change you, so that then the other person sees the change in you. I'm not going to do that, because then they'll win. Hey, marriage is together, successful is winning. It's not an individual sport. Hello? It's not an individual sport that we're keeping score over. Yeah, she's got 3 on me, but I got 4 on her, and I got 1 under my up my sleeve she don't know about. She pulls that card on me, bless God, I'll jerk this card on her. What are we doing? Let's get rid of the cards. Let's get the kingdom of God in our marriages. Let's get the kingdom of God in our lives. And function that away. If we believe it's perfect. See, that's the whole key. If we really believe it's perfect. See, I drank the Kool-Aid. I believe that the Word of God is true. I'm brainwashed, blood washed by the Son of God. I believe Jesus is alive today as if he was alive walking on the streets. Huh? I believe it's as real today as it was. I believe when I pray, God hears my prayer and there's an answer on the way. It's not always what I want. Doesn't always work out like I do. I have fought and fought the battles of Robert. And I'm tired of fighting the battles of Robert. I want to fight the battles of the kingdom of God. I want to hear from heaven and then do that. I don't want to have to try to earn my salvation or work in my salvation or manipulate my salvation. Man, I want to walk in the holiness and the blood that Jesus bought. Paid for me and over my life. Amen? In John chapter 11, verse 29, Jesus says, that's not right. I wrote that down, I just knew it was right. Must not add my glasses on. I'll just tell you what it says. I don't see it. It's all blurry right now. He said, take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The moment you submit your will or your walk to his will, then all of a sudden, it really gets easier, not harder. You hear what I'm saying? Once you submit your will to his will and say, Lord, I'm yours. What do you want me to do? When I wake up in the morning, I want to serve you. I want to walk like you do. I want to speak like you want me to. I want to act like you want me to. If you tell me I got to give the shirt off my back, somebody's going to give the shirt off my back to that person. I'm not going to even worry about it. I'm not going to deal with it. Lord, you just take care of it. I'm totally submitted to you. And then all of a sudden, the burden's off of you. The yoke is off of you. You've taken Jesus' yoke. You're just walking along doing what he tells you to do. And then he promises you that the kingdom of heaven will begin to operate in your life. And the happiness and the blessedness that you desire in your life will come. It will come. Y'all with me? What you're desiring then comes. Because the kingdom of God is built on the principle that when you give, you receive. So when you turn loose of something, something better comes. So when you pull the card out that you've been hiding, that you got one on her, and you throw it down the table and say, look, I ain't got nothing on you. I'm free. I'm out. I'm through. Ooh. Ooh, I just believe in Jesus. Take care of it all. I'm just believing Jesus' work in me and he's just going to do what he needs to do in me, and then our marriage is going to be great, and I take it all out. Yeah, there's no more cards, no more hiding. No more remember what you did then. It's all gone. It's all over with. I just trust in you, Jesus. Then all of a sudden, everything lines up. All of a sudden, the kingdom of God starts to function in your life. All of a sudden, then the blessedness starts to work in your life, and where you wanted to be, you get there, because the kingdom of God shifts and moves forward and puts you in the place it needs to be. Yeah, it's kind of scary. It's kind of scary to lose control.
kind of scary. But you know what? All I can do is just say, go search it out. Just go read it and search it out. You find out that everybody that got in agreement with the kingdom of heaven had victory. I'm just going to tell you this one, and then y'all can go look it up later, and we'll go eat. I was reading over in the book of Judges, chapter 8, about the story of Gideon. And it starts in chapter 6. If you've never read it, you need to go read it. But anyway, just to tell you, there's these, when Gideon, after the battle and the 300 of them, you know, broke all the pitchers, and all the Midianites were scared and everybody started to flee. Well, then the 300 took out and went charging after them, and the kings of the Midianites fled. Two kings. Can't remember exactly their names. Something like, you know, something that you can't pronounce. Zer something and Sal. Sal and Zer, we'll call them. Anyway, so they took off and they were fleeing. So Gideon chased them and he came into this town. And he came to the town. They'd been running, chasing these guys. And they went to the elders of the city and they said, hey, you know, we're tired. We need some water. You got some water and some bread and something for us, some nourishment. We're chasing these kings, you know, these Midianites. And the elders of the city said, you know, well, wait a minute. Those kings are not really in your hand right now. You know, so what if you lose? And then we gave you nourishment, and then they're going to be mad, so they're going to come back and get us. And Gideon said to him, he said, I'm going to come back. He didn't say if. He said, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to destroy this city, and I'm going to kill every man in it. So they left. The 300 of them went to the next town. Next town that says it had a big tower in it. I guess that we're really proud of it. And so he said to them, he said, hey, give me some bread and some water for my men. And they said, you know, those kings really aren't in your hands yet. And so we don't want to commit to you, because if you don't kill them, then they'll come back and kill us. And he says, I'm going to come back to this town. I'm going to tear that tower down. I'm going to kill every man in here. Now, this is the funny thing about it. Those Midianites, they said, were as if the sand of the sea had come upon the land. There's so many of them. And 300 men are killing them all off. God's doing a great miracle, but the people of that city could not turn and look and see that God was in it. Couldn't see that God was in it. So the kings, one of the ones who were chasing, goes into this other town, and a lady's there in her tent and says, hey, come hide over in here. And so he went in there and hid, and he was really tired from running from Gideon. And he laid down and he went to sleep, and she took a tent peg and a hammer and drove it right through his temple and killed him. Pretty gross story, but that's what happened. Now, this is the thing I think is funny. Not funny, ha-ha, but funny, unusual. That all the men of those two towns put all their lives on the line, and one woman with a tent peg killed the king. Not an army. You know, I'm not saying anything bad about women. I'm just saying, she don't mess with them, at least with a tent peg and a hammer. Sleep with one eye open. They put everything on the line and they lost everything, because when Gideon came back, he destroyed that city, killed every man in the town, and went to the next town and killed everybody in that town. The point is, church, we have got to become wise enough Christians to see the hand of God moving in situations and circumstances. To be able to look in a situation and see God's hand and know that God is moving that situation, no matter how strange it seems, and you better get in the move with it. And when you don't get in the move with it, realize that the kingdom of heaven is not working and operating in your life, and somebody with a tent peg may knock you out. Right now in this time of everything that's going on, I want y'all to know that my eyes are just peeled. I'm praying all the time. When I watch the news, when I watch everything going on, I talk to pastors, I talk to people. I'm just looking to see, where's God? Okay, God, what are you doing? Where are you? What's taking place right now? What is this? What's going on? Is this right or is this right? And then you see, oh, I think this is right. And then something else comes up and says, no, that's not right. And you look over there and you say, nah, I don't know which one looks like right. I don't know. I don't think you're right. I think...
And as you see, I start looking. I say, what lines up the kingdom of God? What goes over in the comparisons? What goes on here? What's taking place? Who's giving? First thing I always look at, who's giving? Right? That's where you have to live your life. Because I feel responsible for y'all as pastor to make sure that y'all are getting from the throne the hot word, that you're not behind. You know, it's not delayed. You know how you check the stock market on your phone sometimes and you look down the bottom of your screen and it says 20-minute delay on that, you know? You better watch it because it could have done a lot of things in 20 minutes. Right? Especially now, day and time. I don't want to give you delay. I want to give you hot, fresh off the throne messages so that you hear it from heaven and you know, and you can get the kingdom of God moving in your life, because we've got to be smart. And we don't want to be fence riders. There comes a time in life, every one of us is going to be challenged if what we believe is true. And you're going to be challenged with it. It's going to happen to you. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you are. The moment you say, I'm going to serve God, something's going to come try to make you stop. The minute you say, well, I'm going to go to church every Sunday, that's what I'm going to commit to do. Are you kidding? You just opened up the Pandora's box to come into your life. You better get ready for the fight of your life. And you say, how can it be so hard just to go to church? It is. The devil doesn't want you to come to church. The devil doesn't want you to hear anything. The devil doesn't want you to have fellowship with anybody. It's easier to stay at home and eat potato chips. But if you don't watch it, you'll end up like the men. I believe they're the men of Sukkoth. And you'll be there on the fence saying, I don't know. I don't want to support you, because if we support you, man, then that commits me. And then if I get committed, then the other one doesn't run. You got nothing. And today is not the day to be riding the fence. Today is the day to be committed. And if it rises up in this land that being a conservative Christian, believing that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, and that we have to stand up there and say, yeah, we believe it, we better get up there and stand up there with both feet and say, we do. We'll herald it from the mountaintop. If it comes time to stand up and hold the cross and hold the banner and wave it big and wave it high and say, I am a Christian. I believe in Jesus. He's my Lord and Savior. If I've ever seen a time in America that people need to know that, your coworkers need to know you believe in Jesus. Your coworkers need to know that you are radical. Well, you know, I hate that term radical, because see, to me, Christians should be Christians. There shouldn't be radical Christians and mamby-pamby Christians. Right? Isn't that right? I mean, you ought to say, is he a Christian? He's a Christian. That meant something. I mean, you don't know how many people that I do business with out in the world that I go up there to that respect me, because as pastor, I never pull, they may know it, but I never pull the religious card on them. I don't try to get work because I'm a Christian. I treat everybody the same. Everybody knows it. And people like doing business with me because they know that I'm full of honesty and integrity, but they also know I'm not going to take any bull. And the world needs to know you're a Christian. They need to know what you believe. They need to know, your coworkers need to know that, yeah, I'm a Bible-thumping, God-fearing. Amen? They need to know that. They need to know that you do believe in something. Because I want to tell you something. If they don't, they're looking for somebody that does. Come on. They're looking for somebody that does. And then when you, man, you're there, you're rock solid. I don't know. There it is right here, black and white. Believe it. There it is. Read it. Then all of a sudden you're free. Free just to let the kingdom of God operate and flow in your life. Amen? Amen. Amen. Stand to your feet if you would. Look at the person beside you and say, I want to be free.